Good morning. Matt, thank you. Praise team, thank you. Wasn't that a wonderful time of worshiping God? Yeah. How marvelous, how wonderful. That's a great old classic song. Welcome to Bayside. We're glad you're with us. We hope you feel a part of the little family here. We are going to have something right after the service, if you are new or newer, called Bayside 101. And what that is just a time, kind of an informal little gathering where we just get together, answer some questions about Bayside. We'll take you on a little kind of a walking tour around the building, and you'll get an opportunity to hear a little bit more and also to ask anything that you may have thought of. So I'll give a little more details on that right after the service, but you can be thinking about that, Bayside 101, and we'll do that right after. We are in the second part of a new little series that we started last week called Disconnect to Connect, and we looked at those three big inventions that just changed everything: the telephone, the television, and the computer, and the internet. And we even asked a question last week: how many of us in the last 24 hours have utilized one or more of those three technologies? I'm not going to do that this morning, but 90%+ of us all raised our hand, and oh yeah, I've used that. And I had somebody come up to me after the service last week, and he said, you know, what you should have asked after that is, he said, well, how many of you have read your Bible in the last 24 hours? I'm not going to do that this morning, but that's a good question, isn't it? Isn't that a good question? What are we taking in, the words of life or technology? Anyway, we won't go there. But think about that. You know, it's a fair question. We said we may be just experiencing a little bit too much of a good thing. And I don't think anyone would say that these technologies are altogether bad. They're not altogether bad. But could it be too much of something that is positive? We looked at the two reasons. Last week we talked about why we should disconnect, and we said, number one, this stuff is addicting, and I think anybody who's gotten into this to any degree can pretty much admit this stuff is addicting. I had a pop-up on my computer this week and a little video, and it said, it's from another country, and it said, I'm addicted to my iPhone, and I clicked on it. I didn't understand what he was saying, but I think he was talking about being addicted to his iPhone. Yeah, that would make sense if that was the title of the video. Anyway, this addiction thing is not just our culture, it's the world now. The world is overridden with this technology, and I think it's common. That's the first thing. This is addicting stuff. But the second reason we disconnect at times from technology is because nothing compares to connection with Jesus. Amen? There's nothing. People who don't know Christ, I mean, they won't grasp the fullness of this yet. But there is nothing that compares to a life-giving soul connection with our Savior Jesus. That's the biggest reason that we pull back at times from technology, because it's the best. We don't want to take second best when we got something so much more available to us. So that was the why. Today we're going to look at the when. When do we need to disconnect to connect? What are some of the signs, the indicators that maybe we're just a little bit too connected? And then next week we're going to look at the how. Next week we'll get very practical how we can do that. But for today, it seems that all of us are maybe struggle with this idea of being a little too connected. You know, I was thinking about culture, and from the time kids are very, very little, we set them in front of the TV or they watch movies. And then as they get a little bit older, man, texting is just the deal. And we're texting all the time. And then we get those headphones that go into our ears, and it seems like they're sort of permanently there. And then we move to Facebook, and then we're just on Facebook all the time, and videos, and then we get our smartphones, and they become this appendage that never leaves us. And most of us, boy, our houses are just filled with the TV, and that thing is on. Just, it seems like almost never ending. And so we all, from the very time we are born now in this culture until the time that we leave and move to that place we talked about in that last song, that place of glory, we are infiltrated with technology and these three inventions. I want to start with three questions that I ended with last week. If you're new this morning, you got a bulletin, hopefully, and inside of that you have a little pink sheet of paper that you can follow along with that. Here's the fill-in of these first three questions. I think all of life, and especially technology, should be based in these three questions. The first one is, does this glorify God? Whatever this use of time or money or energy or technology or whatever is it God's glory? That we live for the very glory of God rather than the glory of ourselves? And we have to, that's the foundational question for all of life. Second question is, does it edify my life? Is this profitable for me in my spiritual walk with Jesus? Question number two, we should always be thinking about that, no matter what we're doing. And then the final question is, does this benefit others? And so is this profitable to other people? Those three questions should be overriding questions for all of life and the decisions we make, and with technology or not, those should be just basic foundational type stuff that we look at. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at smartphones. Okay, we're going to look at the internet, and then we're going to look at television. We're going to take all three of these things and see them through this filter. We're going to see when are those times we need to disconnect to truly connect. Let's open though in a word of prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, God, it was good to sing to you, and I pray that our praises were a sweet aroma that just kind of wafted up to your throne. And Father, I thank you for that time. God, I pray now that your Spirit, and Spirit, be with us here, be moving amongst us, and we thank you that you've promised two or three are gathered in your name. You're there. So, Father, we are gathered in your name, and so I pray that you'd be here with us. I pray that you'd be moving. I pray that we wouldn't be defensive this morning, but that we'd have open hearts and open ears to hear what you would say. And God, any of my words, just let those go away. But God, your words, may they stick. May they stick deep. And whatever you would have for us this morning, just do that work in us. We thank you. We're going to pray to that end this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at four little times when we may be too connected. First one is when I need the new, even though mine is fine. I may be too connected when I need the new, even though mine is, and it works just fine. This is the secret of technology and marketing working together. This package of technology always improving and marketing always making the new stuff look really, really good. That's the package. We've become convinced, and we can be, that we need the new, even when what we currently have is working out okay. You know, what tickled that technological itch last season just isn't quite cutting it today, because I've seen the future, and the future looks really good. We got to follow, get away from this technology trap. Now, okay, there's my first BlackBerry. I and it was almost that big. But my very first BlackBerry, I got one of the first ones that came to the area because I thought, man, if I can have everything on one device I wanted. And we were coming off of a time when cell phones were very small. And so this was obnoxiously big and wide. And I brought it home for the first time, and I'm talking on it. And my son Andrew literally said, "Dad, why are you talking to your calculator? I don't get it. What are you doing?" And it was huge, and I was cool. I mean, really cool. And it was big, and I was proud of and I carried this big thing around, and I put it on my belt, and I kind of limped a little, because it was a large stuff. And you know, BlackBerry became the number one smartphone in the world very quickly. In fact, it dominated the smartphone market initially. Fortune magazine in 2009 named BlackBerry, RIM BlackBerry, the number one fastest growing company in the entire world. So of every company that existed, BlackBerry was number one. It saw 84% profits for those 3 years, and during a time when it was we're experiencing a recession. It was it. And yet that was 2009. 3 years later, just 3 years later, today, BlackBerry is in serious financial trouble. In fact, last year, their stock started plummeting, and they began laying off people, and today they are close to on the verge of bankruptcy. From the number one company in the entire globe to bankruptcy in 3 short years. What happened? Why? Well, you know what? We all feel we need the new, even though the old works fine. And the problem with BlackBerry is they didn't keep up. They didn't keep up with the height of technology. And even though yesterday's BlackBerries were working just fine, Apple and Android were just a whole lot better. And BlackBerry, in 3 short years, went from the very top to the very bottom. And we, my friends, need to be very, very careful that we don't fall into the trap. I'm not saying don't go buy an iPhone or an Android. I don't care about that. But what I'm saying is we have to be very careful that we don't fall into the trap of thinking, even though mine is working fine, I need the new. And why would we not just get the new? Well, you know what? We are called to be good financial stewards, good money managers of his money. And most certainly, if the technology that we have is working fine and is adequate, there are better places and better uses for that money for the glory of God. Does this glorify God? If the old is working just fine, then let's not get too enamored by the new. Let's read a passage from 1 Timothy 6 talking about contentment, being content with what we have. And technology, I will tell you, and that marketing technology mix plays on our discontentment. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Well, that's just true. I've seen children delivered into the world, and they're naked as can be. And when you leave, you are taking nothing with you. You may go in, but you are taking nothing with. We came in with nothing, we leave with nothing. There is no U-Haul following anything that we are doing as we leave this world. But if we have food and clothing and a new iPhone 4S, with these we will be... Wait, it didn't say that, did it? Have you seen the new iPhone 4S? It's sweet. But it doesn't say that. There's nothing wrong with that. But it says this, but if we have food and clothing, and all of you have clothing, I can see that very clearly, and I'm thankful, praise the Lord. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. We need to learn to be content with what we have today if it's meeting our needs. Not to get so enamored by the new when the old works just fine. Let's look at the second way we know that we're a little too connected. We are a little too connected when I can't live without it. When I can't live without it. When I got my first BlackBerry phone, I thought, man, this is going to simplify my life. What a joke. And in one, I, to be honest, in one sense, it has simplified my life. Now, here is my current phone right here. And in one sense, it has simplified my life. It's made it convenient, but in another sense, that thing has become too much of a good thing. In my life, there's no doubt it has. The challenge with these smartphones is that they combine everything in one device. Listen to what is combined into a smartphone. We have our phone, our internet, our calendar, our email, our texting, our Facebook, two cameras, our TV, movies, music, and games in one device. Oh yeah, but hang on a second. I have a Bible up on there. I got God's word, so it's spiritual. It's fine. Don't worry. I'm spiritual. This and I'm going to be real honest. This is my greatest addiction of those big three. This is it, the cell phone. I'm going to give you some signs when I know I'm too connected. This thing really hardly ever leaves me, and it's always on. It's always on. I check my email oftentimes right before I go to bed. I've even been known when I get up in the middle of the night, because I'm getting to that age, when I get up in the middle of the night, I check it in the middle of the night when I get up. When I'm driving, it's either on my ear or it's sitting right by me in case I need to talk or text, or I'm trying to get over that because I don't want to do that anymore. But it's always right by me. When I pray, it's sitting right by me when I pray. When I read God's word, it's sitting right by me when I'm reading God's word. When I was writing this sermon, thinking about this, there it sat right by my side. Whatever it is, this is my struggle. Whether it's an appropriate time or an inappropriate time, that thing is there. And it's sitting right by me, just waiting for whatever might come next. Have you ever been meeting with somebody, and it's like whatever they're doing, like the phone is... Okay, hang on one second. Okay, that's Pastor Thomas. Excuse me one sec. Hello? Hey, Thomas, I'm in the middle of something here, dude. You have an idea for my sermon today. Okay, a never-fail idea that you couldn't have told me this earlier. Okay, hang on one sec. Okay, just give me a minute. I got to take this. Okay, go ahead, I'm ready. Go ahead, what do you got? Oh, hang on, I got to write that down. Get emotional, share your feelings. Really? They'll eat it up, really? They like that stuff? I don't normally cry a lot, but you think I should do that? Real men, serious? No, but really, show emotion and they'll like that stuff? Yeah. Oh, and Kleenex box, thank you. appreciate that. Okay. So emotion and get into it. And okay. All right. Cool. Cool. All right. Talk to you later. Thanks. Okay. Bye. Just a minute. I seriously love you people. Like, seriously. I don't know if I've told you recently how much you mean to me. All right, all right. We can use these at some very inappropriate times, can't we? Oh, I got to shut it off. See, there we go. We sometimes do these things to become appendages that never leave. Eric, thanks for the tissue. There may be some deeper signs that we're too into our cell phone. I know for me, checking this thing at all hours of the day affected my sleep. I started not sleeping as well, being so connected to the internet or to a phone, and I had to start stopping checking this thing late as I get towards bedtime. You ever been with somebody and they're with you and you're talking to them or hanging out or you're in a meeting and they're kind of doing one of these with you? You know, they're with you, but it's just too connected. We need to be people who live in the moment, because relationships are so much more valuable than whatever may be going on over there. I want to reread a verse from 1 Corinthians 6. We read this last week, but it's so good we got to put it up there again. All things are lawful for me. It's not that we're saying you can't own this stuff or have a part of this, but is this bringing benefit? Are not all things helpful? Is this really helpful? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved. If you ever feel enslaved to this thing, I can't live without it type of a thing, then it's time to disconnect. It's time to unplug it for a little bit, to take a break, to separate. And I'll say that we just got to get there. We can't be enslaved by technology no matter what the technology is. We can live as people who are free because God called us to freedom. He gave us freedom from sin through the death of his son Jesus Christ, and he gave us freedom from addictions. We don't have to be enslaved. Let's take a look at the third way we may be a little too connected. I may be too connected when it is hazardous to my health. When it's hazardous to my health. I want to change my focus for a moment from cell phones. Now let's move to the internet. If you know anything about the internet, which most of us do, it is all out there. Everything. You can find anything nowadays on the internet. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You can find it all. I want to talk about two areas that specifically the internet can be dangerous to our health. First of all, our relational health, our relationships. That can be dangerous for the internet when we are just spending too much time on it. When we are just always on the internet, it can be dangerous. Now, that's not from our perspective. That may not be from our, but when your family members think you are on the internet more than you should be, then it's too much from their perspective. Relationships can be affected because one of the two people is just online connected just too much. This may be appropriate. You may just be surfing. It may be fine, appropriate websites, but it's just too much. I think video games can fit into this category as well. Just overall too much time connected to something that's not relational, that's not personal. We were meant to live in relationship with people, not with technology. 1 Corinthians 10:24. This needs to be our focus. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. You see what it's saying? As followers of Jesus, our lives are to be lived for the benefit of other people. So much of internet browsing is about me. It's about me. It's selfishly driven. What I want, what the information I want to know, who I want to connect, who I want to go, what the stuff that I need. So much of internet just browsing, time taking, is about me, personal, selfish. Our goal is to seek the good of others. So if those people that we are in relationship with, I've seen this with spouses, I've seen this with family members, I've seen this with so many people where one of the two is just way too much connected online. And it's to the detriment of their relationships, to the very detriment of the relationships of the people that God has put intimately right into their life. Let's look at the second area of health that can be affected. It's our spiritual health. Not only our relational health, but our spiritual life. Can the internet really affect my walk with Jesus? Yes. Yes. I don't know what the percent is. The vast majority of the internet today is godless. It's not all godless, but the majority of it is not based in what we would call the truth of God's word. In fact, the more you get into the internet, the more you're going to see this is attacked. This is not held up as the words of life, as the truth. And so the majority of what the internet is all about is godless, which means we need to be careful. We need to be intentional, because this can, if we continue to let more and more of that perspective in, it will affect more of our spiritual walk with Jesus, because we will question more and struggle more and trust less. Trust Christ in his words much less. This plays right into our enemy's hands. This can be very, very detrimental spiritually. Let's read a verse from 1 John 2:16. And I think so much of this defines and describes much of what the internet is. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions. Boy, that is just so much of what is out there. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but it's from the world. I want to, for a moment, just get serious, very serious about something. Pornography is more readily available in today's generation, in today's culture, than at any other time in the history of mankind. And because of the inventions of these and computers that are so portable, pornography is one of the big problems that we are experiencing because of technology. And I just want to tell you, and I know that it's a problem. I want to tell you that if that is where you are at this morning, two things. Number one, please get help. And if you have no one else to go to, come to me. I have walked many people through the process, good, solid, following Jesus people who have this as a major problem and an addiction in their life. And I would want to help you walk through that process of finding freedom from that. If that's where you are at, the first thing is find help. The second thing is just stop. If no one has ever told you that, stop and stop now. Just be done. Just be done, but you're going to probably need help to be done with that. We have to understand that in our culture, and I know this is a problem with Christian men and women as much as it is with people who aren't following Jesus, it is a big deal right now. And so if that is where you are at today, please just come and talk to me, find help from somebody. I know Pastor Thomas would certainly be willing. Find a friend, find someone who can help you walk through that problem. It's a big deal. We've been given freedom. We can be victorious even over something like this. Let's look at the final way. The final way I know I'm too connected. I'm too connected when it makes my life seem cloudy. When it makes my life seem cloudy. We hit cell phones, smartphones, we hit the internet. Now let's go to television for a moment. I want to define cloudy here as we get started. Cloudy. Does life seem consistently unsettled? Does it seem consistently depressing? Do I sense a lack of clarity and direction and have no real enthusiasm for life? That is how I would define cloudy. Now I want to say something very clearly. I understand life can and will at times be very tough. It will. Life can be tough, and I'm not diminishing that. Life can be hard. It can be challenging. We go through trials. But at the same time, we are people, because of what Christ did for us, who can be filled with a sense of eternal hope. Amen? We can be filled with a sense of hope because of what God did in the midst of our trials. And as difficult as it is, we should be people who live with that sense of overall big picture hope. Now, TV, I believe, portrays two realities, and I put realities in quotes, that contend us to lead us to this state of cloudiness, this state of overcast, this state of no enthusiasm for life and no direction and no clarity for life. The first one is this: life is unrealistically perfect. TV makes us think, certain aspects of TV make us think life is unrealistically perfect. TV portrays unrealistic good. Everyone's life appears fun, and everyone's life appears perfect, and they all look beautiful. All of TV. And we get sold this bill of goods that everybody has to look like that, and their lives have to be like that, and subconsciously, we get discontent. Because you know what? My life isn't that perfect, and my life isn't that beautiful, and my life is not. I don't see that when I look into the picture of my life. It seems unrealistically good. Some of the worst in this vein, by the way, is commercials. Commercials are harmful in a couple of ways. We watch the Super Bowl and it was a great game, and we loved it. And we were looking very forward to the commercials on the Super Bowl because they introduce some of the best new commercials. And we some of them we enjoyed so much, and they were fun. But some of them, I have to be honest with you, they were awful. And it was bordering on pornography, some of these commercials. And when I looked at it, I felt embarrassed that my family was sitting around me. And we can get so numb to this. The more we consume it, the more we don't even see that much of what is just being put right in front of us is truly godless. It's not glorifying to God, and it's nothing that we need to be just filling, consuming without any thought our minds and our hearts with. Second problem is with Super Bowls, and I experienced this, it shows you all the new stuff, the stuff you don't have. Now, I'm old school now with a BlackBerry, and I saw the new cell phones on all those commercials, and they looked really nice. What it does is it, again, subconsciously makes us discontent with what we have because we see the marketing geniuses. They show us very clearly what we don't have but what we need. Listen to this study. University of Michigan, 1998 study showed that 1 hour of television per day triples our hunger for more possessions. Triples it. 1 hour gives us three times more desire for more stuff. Regular TV watching also has been shown to reduce life satisfaction by 50%. 50%. Life can seem unrealistically good when we consume so much of it and we get discontent and we need more and we wish we weren't who we were. Second TV reality is this, and these seem opposite but they play together. Second TV reality is life is realistically bad. TV shows all the bad, the murder, the immorality, the kidnapping, the hate, the sorrow, the sadness, and the death. And this stuff is real. I understand that. But what TV does is it gives you an overabundance of it. It gives you so much of that part of life that your mind will naturally think, what if that happens to me? What if what I just saw happens to me? And we get scared for the future, and we get nervous for the future. And I understand, like I said, life is tough. I get that there is evil in the world, and yet we are a people to be living with hope. No matter what life presents us, God will give us the strength to endure. We sang about that. He gives us strength to endure whatever it is. And life can be tough, and it will be tough at times, but He gives us that. But what TV does is it just throws all of that into our face, and we can get very nervous. A living hope in God is not naive. It's a true reality for a follower of Christ. When my life seems cloudy, it's time to disconnect to connect. I want to tell you a story about a people group up in Africa. For 1,000 generations, the Gwich'in tribe lived in northern Alaska. Did I say Africa? It's in Alaska. Lived in northern Alaska in nearly complete isolation from outside cultures. Tribal members were completely self-sufficient, surviving on skills taught to them by their parents and elders. The gospel was actually brought to this people group starting in the 1840s, but their traditions didn't change how they lived life. Yet in 1980, one of the tribe's leaders acquired a television. Members of the tribe described the event as the beginning of an addiction. Soon the native customs were ignored to maximize TV watching time. One researcher said of the tribe's experience, for these natives, like anyone else, TV is a cultural nerve gas. It's odorless, painless, tasteless, and deadly. So what happened to the Gwich'in traditions that had existed for thousands of years? In the words of one tribe member, television made us wish we were something else. It taught us greed and waste, and now everything that we were is gone. The more that our eyes, my friends, are fixated on TV, the less content we will be with our present life and the less secure we will be with our future life. We will be less content with today and less confident in tomorrow. The more we fix our eyes on Jesus, the more content we will be with today, no matter what today looks like, and the more secure and solid we will be in tomorrow, as unsure as that may look. I want to close with a passage from Titus. It talks about disconnecting to connect. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. That's the start of connection, Jesus coming. here's the disconnect, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. We disconnect from the things that are bringing us down, and we connect into the words of life and into Jesus. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify us for himself, a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works, zealous for the things that God is doing. I was thinking, if the Apostle Paul, he wrote that a couple thousand years ago, if he came back and he came and visited us in our culture, what would he think of this technology? And I started, you know, Paul was living in his culture, and there were things that were new there and then. And I don't think Paul would be super surprised about the technology. I think he'd think it was kind of neat for maybe a couple minutes. But I think Paul would be incredibly surprised at the amount of time God's children spend with technology. I think that would blow him away. I think it would surprise him to know how much time we spend on these three things that maybe have become too much of a good thing. These technologies are causing more harm in our lives than good. We, as followers of Jesus, are experiencing too much of a good thing. It's not that technology is all bad. Please don't hear me that I'm telling us to get rid of everything. I'm not saying that. But most certainly, it doesn't compare to connection to Jesus. We accept second best at the expense of the ultimate. Connection to Christ, life-giving, soul-giving, filling us with a state of who we really are, is the best thing, is what we were created for. And yet so many times we set that aside for second best or third best or things that just don't give us life. Let's disconnect to really connect. Next week, we're going to get practical. And we're going to talk about some really simple little how-tos. Just disconnect a little bit from technology to connect with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you again for this morning. God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your grace for us. God, I want to ask for myself that you'd forgive me for the times when I am far too connected, God, to technology and far too connected to these three inventions, and I'm experiencing by far too much of a good thing. Father, because I want the best. And God, I know we want the best. And so many times we settle for second best, God. And so, Father, forgive us for that. Lord, show each of us, maybe even this week, what are those areas? Which one of those or which ones of those, God, are causing us to be just too connected and to lose that real deep, true connection with you? God, we love you. We thank you and praise you that you offered life and now you offer this incredible relationship that we can have with you that gives us true life here on this earth. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.